All right. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. I'll try to keep you awake. That's my commitment to you. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you to Emmaus. My name's Vic. Great to have you with us today. We are having a little Super Bowl gathering tonight, and so if you don't have anywhere to go, you want to come and just hang out, watch the game, or watch half the game, whatever, come on out. After the service, we could use a hand moving like 5-6 rows of chairs from the back. We're going to set some tables up. How many of you think you'll come out tonight, watch the game, just so we have a little bit of an idea? All right, bring the kids and stuff like that. All right, it'll be a good time. So look forward to seeing you there. We are in a series called Jesus Changes Everything. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how Jesus not only changes our lives and changes everything in our lives when we surrender to him, we've been talking about how when Jesus came on the scene and when he died and when he resurrected, that he changed the landscape of everything. For the religious people then, he changed the way that they would worship. And that carries over to us today. So last week, we spent a good bit of time. I had a whiteboard out, and we were talking about what the church is and what the church isn't. So the church is not a place that we go to, right? The church is the people of God. So as we are gathered together as the church, we experience him in our midst. But the church isn't a building, and it's not an event. It's who we are. So this is a gathering of the church, not because we're at 3425 Sans Pareil Street or at this place that we call Emmaus. This is a gathering of the church because we are here to worship Jesus and he is here in our midst. All right, so now it's probably not a completely new concept to a lot of you who've kind of been around for a while and call yourselves Christians, this idea that the church isn't a place, but when we start to talk about like the implications and what that means and we dig a little bit deeper, then it starts to get a little sticky at times, you know, because then I start going, hey, it's important that we use the right language, you know. We don't say, hey, I'm going to church. We understand that we are the church. We might be going to a gathering of the church, but when we talk about things that way, I know you might say, well, Vic, it's just words, right? It's just semantics. We all know what we're talking about. But words kind of matter, don't they? So if you're in court and the judge says, did you or did you not kill that man with your bare hands, the words you use to answer that question actually matter, right? Did you kill him? Did you kill her? You go, yeah, okay, that matters. But really, what really matters is the evidence, right? Because you can say anything. What matters is the evidence. But for the last 3-4 weeks, we've been looking at the evidence. You know, Jesus talking about his church and building his church and what that looks like and the fact that no longer do we need to go to a temple to worship, but now we become a temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So those who follow him, his spirit comes and lives inside of us. Last week, we looked at a passage where Peter says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation gathered in his name. And so there's no longer a need for priests, no longer a need for a temple. He says, we are priests and we are the temple. And so when we start talking about those things, we go, man, well, hold on a second. What does that mean? It means that our lives matter. It means that Jesus needs to be at the center of our lives. And when Jesus is at the center of our lives, then he's at the center of the church because we are the church, okay? And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go along. But when we started as a small Bible study in our home about 8 years ago, we were talking about what the church is and what it isn't. We were looking at the book of Acts and having some of these discussions and really keyed in on a passage in Matthew 16. Okay, this is Matthew 16, 15 to 18. Now, the disciples come to Jesus and they go, man, people are saying that, you know, you are Elijah, come back from the dead, John the Baptist. They have all these thoughts about you, you know, that who you are. And so in Matthew 16, 15 to 18, Jesus responds and he says, then he asks them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Okay? So he says, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Some people get hung up in this passage, and they're like, you know, what does he mean when he says, you are Peter, and on this rock? And they get hung up on what's the rock, and is it Peter himself? Is it Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah? I mean, what is it? When we looked at the passage, we asked two questions that we felt were even more important, okay? One is, when you look at this passage in verse 17 particularly, whose church is it? His. And him being Jesus, right? So it's his church. Who does he say will build the church? He will, right? So, I will build my church. So, Jesus needs to be central in this thing that we call the church. And if we are the church, that means he's committed to building us up, to helping us grow. And if you're a follower of Jesus, this passage to me, it starts getting me revved up a little bit because he goes, listen, I will build my church, and the powers of hell are not going to succeed against it, right? Again, who is the church? We are the church. So he goes, I'm building my church. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to help you grow. And the powers of hell are not going to overcome you. The powers of hell are not going to be able to stand in your way. But we got to keep our lives centered on Jesus. And if we, as the church, keep our lives centered on Jesus, then Jesus stays at the center of the church. And one of the big problems we have in our country today is that Jesus is like kind of moved over to the side a little bit. And rather than it being Jesus' church, it's really easy for it to become like some guy's church, right? I mean, no one in my position would ever say that, you know, like, hey, this is Vic's church. But you go to some places and, you know, it's such and such church, pastor so-and-so residing, you know. It's like, what is this about? Is it about Jesus? Because if it's about Jesus, then he has to be at the center. We have to take our hands off it, so to speak, and we have to take our names off it. And that's hard, okay? That's hard for all of us in life. Again, we, as the people of God, are the church. And the reality is, all of us in this room, we all have egos, and we all deal with pride. In different levels, but we do. We all want to be noticed, right? Even if you feel like you're, you know, the most quiet person, there's something inside of us that always wants to be noticed. And so there's this struggle and this tension between we as the church, the people of God, at keeping Jesus central rather than us. So even when God does something, you know, we got to be careful that we're not the ones who take the credit, right? But here's the real cool thing. If Jesus is living inside of us, and he says that he's going to work in and through us, and he's going to build his church, and nothing can stand against it, when he does something through you, or he does something through me, or he does something through us as a community of believers, and it makes an impact on the world, we don't have to raise our hand and go, hey, look at what I did. See, if we go to point to Jesus, look at what Jesus did. Look at what he did. Look at what he's doing. And because I'm his and he's mine and he lives in me and we're a part of this thing, it's like, hey, man, we all get to be along for the ride. This is pretty cool. And in this kind of weird way, it's like there's something that's fulfilling about that without having to put ourselves to the forefront. But that temptation is always there. But God is going to work in his people and through his people. And the work that he started in us, he's going to be the one who helps bring it to completion. Paul was real confident of this. He writes in Philippians 1, 3 to 6, talking to the gathered church in Philippi, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. See, he started it, he will finish it. He came 2,000 years ago, he died, he rose from the dead, and what's the promise? He's coming again. What happens between now and then? How we invest our lives, how we give our time, do we keep Jesus central in all we do? That's what's going to matter at that time. Are we good stewards of what he's done? So he began it, he will continue it, and he's going to complete it. What do we need to do? Man, we just need to surrender to Jesus. We need to make sure that he's at the center of our lives, that he's able to do what he wants to do in and through us, and that he builds his church. And to me, that's awesome, because I'm often around guys who are feverishly trying to do what Jesus promised he would do. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, I run around with people at times. I'm in these meetings, and they're trying to do everything they do. They're trying to come up with all these gimmicks or whatever they can do to build and grow the church. When Jesus said, that's my job. You know, you focus on loving me and loving people. Go and make disciples, share this love with the world, take care of widows and orphans. Do these things that I taught you to do. Do these things that I called you to do. Keep your life centered on me. Make your life be about those things. And then guess what? I'll build my church all around you, in you and through you. And you don't have to try to focus on filling a building like this. That's never been the heart of Jesus. It's to reach the lost people, the people who are dying on the inside without him, the people who are in need. And that needs to be our heart. But it's so easy to get off. And so I get up here at times and I challenge us and say, hey, where are we at? Where are we at as individuals? Where's your heart? If you were to ask yourself today, is Jesus at the center? If you look at your life, the way you use your time, your resources, your gifts, is Jesus at the center of your life? Because he needs to be at the center of your life in order for him to be at the center of the church. Because as we go, so goes the church. Maybe you haven't really thought about that. You think, man, I just kind of come here and hang out on Sunday morning at this place called Emmaus. No. This is about all of us, and it's about what God wants to do in and through us. It's about the gifts he's given to you. It's about the resources he's given you. It's about how you use the time that you're allotted here on this earth, and when you do that with him at the center and for his glory, really cool stuff starts to happen, and he starts to do things in and through his church. So I'll ask you, you know, take an assessment. You know, if I look at my life, is Jesus at the center? And then there is this reality that I don't want to pretend doesn't exist. There is an entity called the church in America, right? In order for us to do what we're doing here, we have to be legal. You know, there's a reason why there's a name for the church. There has to be an address. You have to incorporate. You have to do those things. Now, I suppose you could just kind of, you know, say, hey, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to just, you know, buck the system and do our own thing. But that has repercussions. And, you know, is it worth it? You have to ask those questions. So we are. We're incorporated as an entity. But we have to decide to use the system for our advantage rather than let the system dictate who we are as believers and followers of Jesus. Okay? So we have this community of believers gathered together, this thing that we call Emmaus. People give money to it. We use it to the glory of God. That's our hope. That's our desire to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the rest of the world and on the earth. So when I ask you to assess your life, is Jesus at the center? I think it's a good question for all of us to go, well, is he at the center of our community? Is he at the center of this thing we call Emmaus? Which, yes, it's the gathered group of people here, but it's also something that we give to. It's something that allows us to have someone like David Spites in Thailand that we can be a part of what's going on there. Is Jesus at the center of who we are? And so just like we need to take an assessment, it's important for us as an organization to be honest and take an assessment. So each year, we take a moment in a service and we talk about the prior year. We talk about our finances. All of that stuff is open. All right, full disclosure here. Nothing is hidden. We post our finances online, so you'll be able, you can find the balance sheet and everything online on our website. So that'll be going up for this year, this week. But we just put it out there and say, we want to be doing what God's called us to do. Now, this year was kind of unique because we built an addition onto this building and a lot of things that happened. So what I want to do is I want to just take a few moments and kind of bring you guys up to speed on what this last year was like. And I'm going to ask Ryan Pavelchek to come up. Give him that mic there. he's going to share a little bit about what 2014 looked like for us as a community of believers. And just hold that until it turns green. There you go. Well, thank you. What's that? Yeah. All right, so let me get this up here. All right, so hopefully you guys, you know, grasp that. You know, it's kind of hard. Sometimes you look at that and say, okay, but first glance, missions, benevolence went from 43 to 32, whatever it was. But overall, our income basically, it basically grew $200,000. And when I look at this, it's kind of, this is interesting, is that it's kind of like God knows what his church needs. So here's the way I look at that one. You know, just really, I'm a real simple guy. So 2014, we're given X number of dollars to missionaries, okay? And then all of a sudden, God gives us a building, and we realize we need to do work on the building, we need to add to it or whatever. So he gives us this building, and then in 2015, we do the same thing that we've been doing with missionaries. The same, give the same amount. We don't say no to anything that comes into us. But in 2015, he gives us an extra $200,000. And so we say, rather than take out more debt, we're just going to use that to pay on the building because God's given it to us. And quite frankly, there's no real direct place where we see this need that's come up. And so we use that to pay down the debt, keep our payment where, you know, below what we were paying on rent. And now we're in a better position going forward in 2016, because everything else is shrinking. So I look at it as an opportunity, I mean, to reach that goal sooner than later, to be loving our neighbors as ourselves, to see at least half of what goes out of here to go toward missions, benevolence, church planting. And like I said, we don't say no to that when it comes our way, and it's through relationships and things like that. Leonard's going to be planting a church. We've been talking about that for quite some time and encouraging people to go if you feel called to go with them, to give toward that. And so in 2 weeks, on February 21st, we're going to do something similar that we did last year at the end of the year with the Project for Hope. On the 21st, all of the Sunday morning offering that comes in is going to go to help plant Mosaic Church. Okay, so I want to encourage you, be praying about that. If that's something that you would like to give toward on that Sunday morning, if you give your regular offering, all that's going to go toward that church plant. We committed early on in the ministry of Journey that churches that we plant, we would send with at least a minimum of a $10,000 gift. So regardless of what comes in on that Sunday, we're going to send that gift with Leonard at least. I'd love to see it be twice that, you know. But so whatever you feel led, I want to encourage you to be praying about that. We'll talk about that. And on that Sunday, we're also going to kind of be sending him and laying our hands on him, praying for him as he goes. But that's just been our heart. As God shows us things, we want to be a part of what God's doing here locally and globally. And so I just want to encourage you, please pray for us as leaders in that. And I believe God calls leadership into place to help make those kind of decisions. And I'm very thankful, I'll just say right now, I'm very thankful that all those decisions don't fall on my shoulders. Okay, I've been in places where you have basically one guy or one couple, and they make decisions based on what they feel best. But listen, we're all sinners, right? We all have our moments, right? Ask my wife. I have my moments, okay? I'll be the first one. And so even if you're just, your heart's right, but you're off a little bit, and we all can be, we need people around us See, that's what the church is. We need people around us to get wisdom from and insight. And that's what this leadership team of guys does. Does for this congregation, does for me, because I might throw something out there and, man, it might just be something emotional or whatever. And God uses that to keep us in check. We're going to share communion in just a moment together. But this is a weird Sunday for me. It's kind of hard to do this stuff, but sometimes we just got to take care of business like this. So I'm going to ask the leadership team, guys, if you guys would come up here, just so you guys all see who is a part of the leadership team here at Emmaus right now. So everyone who is in here who's part of the leadership team, Tom, where you at? Come on up. And then this is kind of an audible for you guys, but Dave and Fran, would you guys come up here, please? Come on up. I want to have both of you come up. Fran, you come up. I know it's a bunch of guys, but come on up. Come on up, Miss Fran, the matriarch of the congregation. Come on. For those of you who've been around for a while, Dave and Fran were one of the first couples, you know, part of Journey. They came right after we stopped meeting in our house, and we were meeting in a clubhouse at our subdivision, or actually at a few different subdivisions in town. And Dave and Fran both just served selflessly for years and years. David was a part of our leadership team just up until a few months ago. And if you know their story, basically, Dave's had a number of medical things that have gone on that just caused him to feel like he needed to step away from that role. You'll notice, some of you who know them really well, like they're conspicuously missing on Sundays. And you know, there's times where they're traveling to see family because that's a priority right now at their stage of life. But there's also a number of things just physically that keep them out. And Fran used to be, you know, always when you walk in that front door or at the other place, she'd be the first one to greet new people, and she would take you and introduce you to five other, you know, couples or families or people. And she was back there behind the coffee all the time. But now with what's been going on with Dave, as Dave stepped away from that, she said, you know, I need to be with my husband and there for him. So I want to let y'all know, there's not a more precious couple in our church community who are an example of laying down their life for Jesus. It really isn't. They love you guys. I never got one of those. Folks, listen. No, this is what church family is about. When we say the family of God living on mission, it's real relationships. And so when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. When someone rejoices, we should all rejoice. And so it's been hard. I remember when Dave came in and told me that, you know, he was needing to step off the leadership team. It was difficult, you know, because not only was he part of the leadership team, Dave up here a couple days a week, and he gets the mail and helps do, you know, just a lot of different stuff. And I want to take a moment to pray for them, because Dave's had some stuff going on with his digestive system, and that's kept him from doing those things. And so we just want to pray for God to move in his life, just to free them up to do the things, you know, they feel like God's called them to do during this time, and for him to be healed of that. But so do you guys want to share anything you want to say? I don't want you to feel on the spot, but if you do, I mean, you know, anything at all.
He's humbled us today, I'm telling you.
Anything?
I just want to thank all you guys for being a part of Emmaus, and just try to befriend each other and just be there for each other.
Yeah, and that's great. And I want to tell you something. That's one of the things that I've seen through them, you know, aside from all the serving and that kind of thing. One of the things that a lot of you guys probably don't see is that Dave and Fran, over the years, they would because they would just have a heart to meet people and they'd meet a young couple who are here, maybe in the military, and then husband gets deployed, and they would come alongside some of those ladies and really just take them on almost as their kids and become grandparents to kids. And I've just seen that. And listen, any of us can do those things. That's the church being the church. That's Jesus making himself known through his people. That's what he wants to do in and through all of us. And they're just a shining example of that. When that's happening in a group of believers, it changes everything. It doesn't matter what the world out there says about the church or what they've thought about the church. When they come into a place and they start experiencing that and they see that, it's not centered around, you know, every Sunday them getting up and asking you about your money or, you know, it's centered around Jesus. That's compelling. That changes their perception, and Jesus meets them right in the midst of that. And I've heard that story over and over again through people here. And so I just want to encourage all of us and for all of us to be challenged with that. Because God wants to do that in and through all of us. In just a moment, I want to pray for Dave and Fran, and there's like 15 other things that I wanted to do this morning, but we're gonna kind of just put those on pause. So this is the leadership team of Emmaus: Pete Diamond, Howard Teachin, Ryan Pavlicek, Tom Fitzpatrick, and I ask you to pray for us as we lead. I want you to know that I sit as just one person around a table with these men, and so when there's decisions to be made, we make those together. I don't hold a veto card or anything like that, and I've seen God bring his wisdom to us through this group of people. if you're wondering how did this come about, Howard was a recent addition to the leadership team when Dave stepped off and Reed moved away, and just to give you a little insight into that, we just look as a group, we pray and we look and say, who's faithful here? Who's faithfully serving? Who is already shepherding people? These are not guys who just make decisions in the background. We want to be people who live out what Scripture talks about as biblical elders, and we're shepherding people. Who's already doing that among people? Who, when you look at their life looks like it exhibits the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, those things. When it comes to giving, is that reflected? You know, one of the things about an elder is someone who's not greedy. So we look at that. I don't get up here and talk about, hey, you need to tithe, and we don't do that on Sunday mornings. God calls us to worship him through giving, and I believe it's Spirit-led sacrificial giving. The tithe in the Old Testament is a good place for us to start, but it's Spirit-led sacrificial giving. When you become a partner here at Emmaus, it's one of the six things that we ask all of us as partners to do, is just to faithfully give to God's work through the body here as he prospers us. So we look at that. Who's doing that? Don't want that to be a question. Don't want it to be in anybody's heart, you know, their heart to be divided. When we're making decisions for this community of believers, we got to believe sometimes. We got to take steps of faith. If God brings a mission opportunity to us to give to, that you might look at and in the natural go, man, it doesn't make sense. I mean, to give $50,000 to that, it does, you know, we start looking at our finances. We have to be people who live by faith personally first to be able to have that kind of faith to make decisions for this community of believers. And each one of these guys do that. And so I just want to let you know, just to give you a little insight, the kind of how and why these guys are before you. And so pray for all of us as we continue to lead and as we continue to move forward as a body of believers, all right, here at Emmaus. And I just want to take a moment and pray for Dave and Fran. Pete, would you, I just want to ask you if you would pray for Dave. Yes, everyone come over here and lay your hands on them and join us. We're going to pray for them. Pete, if you'll pray, and then I'll close this in prayer and just asking God to move in his life and in their lives. Yes, God. God, we all agree, and we thank you for this couple. We thank you for just the shining example they are of what it means to just live for you, to lay down our lives for you. And just pray that it would be an encouragement and challenge to all of us, God. It's so hard sometimes. We look at life and we're busy, and what can we do for you? What can we do for your kingdom? And sometimes it's just simply going out of our way to give someone a hug, to introduce someone to someone else, to just be available, to surrender to you and be used by you. And I've just seen that in their lives, and I'm thankful for it, God. I just do pray that you would just bring that healing to Dave's body, that he'd be able to, God, just do the things that you've created and called him to do at full speed, Lord. And God, we just thank you. Thank you that they're a part of our community. We thank you for the love that they've shown, and we want to continue to love them. And God, for all of us, I thank you for all of these guys up here who love this community of believers, who serve. And God, just I pray you continue to lead and guide us as we move forward. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Levi, if you guys will come up. I'm going to get the band to come up. All right, we're going to share a moment of communion together, and as we do, I just want to remind us, we as the church, the family of God, living on mission, we're gathered here today in a building, and that's a good thing. Because God encourages us, God strengthens us. Hopefully that even in the midst of some of the technical things we needed to talk about, you know, kind of the housekeeping stuff, that you were encouraged this morning, encouraged to live for him, encouraged to surrender to him. That passage that I read earlier about Jesus building his church, that was his promise, he would do that. And he is going to continue that work that he started in us, and he'll bring it to completion. But I'm going to ask you if you would, if you'd stand with me. And I'm going to read the passage and then just pray. There's communion tables to the right, to my right, to my left. There's one in the back. And I would encourage you, take a moment. Remember who he is and what he's done. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. And Paul writes, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes.'" And I just think that's really important for us. This is not just a time to get up and hey, you have a piece of bread and you have this cup and you remember, you know, Jesus died way back then. This is a time to enter into a moment of communion with him. He's here. By his Spirit, he lives inside of us. By his Spirit, he works in us, and he builds the church. And so when we break that bread, we're reminded of his death until what? Until he comes again. And that's a truth. And so as we do that, I just want you to think about, we'll sing this song, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for erasing my sin. Thank you that you would use someone like me, use someone like all of us in this room to do something with meaning and purpose on this earth. And just, God, help us to remember you. Help us to live this out. Help us to be a part of what you're doing. Let's pray. God, thank you that all throughout history, you've used broken men and women. God, you've used flawed people to accomplish the things you want to do on this earth. And you ask us to love you and love those around us. That's something that we all can do. And we will fail, and some of us have failed today, and we'll fail tomorrow. But you love us, and you say that you will continue that work in us and bring it to completion. Help us to depend on you and not us. It's not about us, it's about you. Help us to keep Jesus at the center of our lives, Jesus at the center of the church. May it be Jesus first, last, and always until the day you come again. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So as we sing this song, as you feel led, make your way to one of the tables. Take that bread, break it, take that cup. Take some time with do it with a loved one. Do it with another family. If you see someone alone, grab someone. Do it with friends. But let's remember Jesus and just take that moment to be with him. And we'll sing this song and worship together and then be dismissed.